very monumental time. For as long as we've known each other, we've only ever been in Genesis on Wednesday nights. It's good to meet you in Exodus. Exodus chapter 3, verse 1 says, "Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt." The title of tonight's message, Man versus Civil Obedience, or Civil Disobedience. Man versus Civil Disobedience. Now, before we dive into that, I want to kind of define what civil disobedience is. Civil disobedience is when the government says to do something or not to do something, and we say, well, no. We're not going to do that. It is not throwing Molotov cocktails through a government building. It is not beating police officers. It's not that, because that would be civil. That would be uncivil disobedience. We're looking at what God is commanding Moses to do here. Right now, Egypt was a very strong nation. They were a very strong government as well, very powerful. They did not play games, and we still see them as a colossus in the annals of history as far as how they went to war, how they developed their government, and many of the both artistry and science that they would get themselves into. To Moses, however, his connection was a little bit more personal. Having been born a Hebrew, raised an Egyptian, but by his Hebrew mother, his experience was just a little bit different. At the time of this historical event, Moses was on the run. He had killed an Egyptian guard and was immediately rejected by his people. Here, God is calling him to go back, to stand against the Pharaoh, and to start a new government. It can be difficult to know where to draw the line as far as what we should obey and should not obey when it comes down to the American government. We want to submit to authority. We want that, right? Isn't that what the Lord says? Render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. And then on the other hand, we also see where the apostles just kind of looked at the local government and said we ought to obey God rather than man. So tonight, while we're diving into this, we want to answer that question, where is the line between what I render unto Caesar and what I obey God for? Right? And for many of you, like, well, I never had that question. Well, I did, so here's the answer. We are taught that we ought to obey God rather than man and render unto Caesar that which is Caesar, which reminds me, in efforts to kind of fix some of the financial crisis that we're having right now, Joe Biden wanted to take a look into the taxes. So he formed a committee because he found a small problem while looking at the map. And he's like, well, why have we not been receiving taxes? So he formed a committee to look at the states between Washington State and Alaska to see why they're not paying taxes. And when he gets an answer with that, that's Canada, brother. That's why it's a joke. It's because it's Canada. Washington State and Alaska, it's Canada. But see, you try to make fun of the president. Yeah, it's too serious. No, but we think about, you know, what do I give to my government versus what am I supposed to do? Because from our perspective, the journey of the Israelites out of Egypt was as kind of a type of leaving the world. It's a type of salvation. We look at it from one end. From Pharaoh's perspective, you guys aren't listening, right? From Pharaoh's perspective, here's this Joseph character, and his entire lineage and his family's lineage grew so out of bounds that we had to put these guys to work, eventually, you know, putting them into slavery. And the deal was this: you build the bricks, we feed you, give you land to develop your interests, but this is how it works. And what Moses was about to do is going to mess with that sweet setup that he had, right? Everything worked well. You built the things. I gave you space, right? I let you be a part of us. And that completely confounded him, and in many ways would have irritated the government of Egypt. where we sit today, a lot of the things that we do irritates the society, but also irritates the government, some of the stands that we take and some of the things that we do. Personally, when I look at this, number one, if I'm going to answer the question of where is the line between rendering unto Caesar that which is Caesar's and obeying God rather than man, the first thing I've got to know is that God is my king. Now listen, I am an American through and through. I love this country. Right? Despite her faults, despite her flaws, despite the local government, or the local government and the federal government that we have, and the absolute yahoos, I think, that are running it right now, I love this country. Well, brother, sell it harder. But I love it. I tell you what, I would rather be in America all of my life than be in any of these other countries and how they're run. Well, over in Switzerland, they have this and that. I like this one. Well, there's lower gun deaths in England. Because they got all the guns out of England. Okay? And Australia too. They got all the guns out of Australia, and there are no guns in Australia, and the crime rates are low, whether the shooting rates are low. I go, those are islands. You can do that. Here in America, we've got neighbors. And they'll bring them in, right? I'd rather be here. I would. I would rather be American. I think I'm blessed to be an American. I know that's hate speech nowadays, but I love being an American. I will wave that flag. I love it. But my first fealty is to my God. I am under a kingship first. I bow to only one. It just so happens that my God commands me to obey the government. While God expects me to obey, I will obey, because I will obey Him. If they request something that contradicts God, then I would no longer be obeying God, but obeying man. Therefore, no matter what, my obedience to the government will always be contingent on what my king says about it. Right? If the government says, hey, listen, we want you to do this, and it does not coincide with what God expects out of me, my answer is no. Well, I thought you were proud to be an American. I am. But I am a citizen to heaven first. I answer to Him first. While I am an ambassador to earth, I will follow the rules and the laws of the country I am an ambassador to. But beyond that, when my king calls, I go with what he says. My allegiance goes to him. John Galbraith was a noted economist in the early 1900s who was called upon by many dignitaries to help sort the economic markets. He wrote the following story in his autobiography about his housekeeper. It had been a wearying day, and I asked Emily to hold all telephone calls while I had a nap. Shortly thereafter, the phone rang. Lyndon Johnson was calling from the White House. "Get me Ken Galbraith. This is Lyndon Johnson," he said. "He is sleeping, Mr. President." He said, "Do not disturb him." "Well, wake him up. I want to talk to him." "No, Mr. President, I work for him, not you." He goes on to write, "When I called the president back, he could scarcely control his pleasure. Tell that woman I want her here in the White House." Emily, the housekeeper, understood an important truth. She was a servant to one man and obeyed his wishes explicitly. Her loyalties were to Mr. Galbraith alone. What a great example of a true servant. And folks, I kind of want to be like that, don't you? Well, listen, we're the presidents. We're the people that could really cause you trouble. We could take away your tax-exempt status. We could do this, Well, I guess that's what you're going to have to do, because I serve him. Right? Now, as we're looking at this, Moses had no idea what he was about to walk up to. He sees this bush. It's on fire. It's not being burned. It makes no sense to him. So he walks up to it. Verse 4 of our reading, "And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I." Again, you've got to think about how miraculous this had to have been for Moses. What do you say to that? I mean, Nancy, think about that. You're walking down, there's a bush, it's on fire. It's not being burned up. And it says, calls your name out twice. What do you say to that? Well, Moses, the only thing, here am I. What else am I going to say? Here am I. And he said, draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Listen to that, holy ground. Now, this was not God in the flesh. This was him speaking through a burning bush, and the ground was still holy. Right? He was speaking through a conduit, right? He was there, but it wasn't as though if Moses looked hard enough, he was going to see his face. And the ground was still holy. That is who my God is. He oversteps and is over and above everything we would have here on earth. He can do the impossible, right? Unlike anybody else. Right? Because it's the impossible. I wish I could do the impossible. Don't you wish you could just do the impossible? Oh, you can't do that. That's impossible. I wish I was the guy who just kind of step up and let, nobody can do that. God can. Right? We think about all the problems that we're trying to solve in the current day and age. Well, it's impossible to do this. It's impossible to do that. God's so succinct and so quick in his things. He can do the impossible. Therefore, not only my allegiance goes to him for his holiness, but my obedience goes to him as well. What did Moses do next? Did he sit there and go, well, I'm not going to take my shoes off. There's fire. No, but he took his shoes off. He popped those bad boys off. Why? Because he knew, he recognized where he was and who he was dealing with. We can look at this world and become so scared at its thunderings and its shoutings and its legislations, and it's possible for us to lose heart. But we have to remember who it is we serve. We serve a mighty God. We serve a holy God. And I am far more afraid of him than I am of them. My heart is so much more on him than it will ever be on them. Right, you look through history, and I like to look through the different presidents and be like, you know what? It would have been really cool to be in there when this president did that. And I say, you know what? Well, if I were there when that president did this, I would have been super mad. Like I kind of do that. I play games like that. You know, if I were there, this is how I would have responded to it. But when I look through the Bible and I see all the things there's not a one time I ever sit there and say, well, if I was there when the Lord did that, I'd be so cross. You never see that. There's never a point there. All the times you'd look at that and you'd say, wow, look at what he did. You know what? I'm going to follow after him. God gave us the law. God made us free from the penalties of the law. He is the omniscient one. I am following him. Verse 7, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land, and a large unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, the entire Ite family, right? He was going to just into their land we were going, right? And could you imagine being Moses? Yes! Yes, Lord, do all of those things. Isn't that exciting? When we see the promises of God in the New Testament where we're living now, you'll read through the book of Acts, you'll read through the book of Revelation, and you say, yes, Lord, those are great things. Do you think Pharaoh gave a whit about the suffering of the Israelites? He didn't care. And I'll be honest, again, I love my country. Do you think some of the people running the show right now actually care about the suffering? They don't. They don't. You look at some of the solutions that they'll put into place. You look at that going, well, they've got to see that that makes it worse, right? They've got to see that that's being more problematic, right? There's a current government program, and I'm not entirely sure what faction of government, but there's a certain city where they're going to give an additional $500 to $600 for black families to move into a certain area. So if you move into our city and you're a black family, we'll give you this much money. Was anybody around when the fair housing laws were written? What? I thought I saw your granddaughter's hand raise up. I'm like, no, you weren't. Do you remember why they wrote those laws, those blockbusting laws? To get people out of the same areas, right? To kind of stir the pot. If I pay a certain race of people to be in one area, that's backwards, isn't it? As backwards. Don't you see that causes more problems when you try to segregate people than anything else? Oh, they don't see the problems. Why? Because they don't care. They don't. If representatives actually reached out into their neighborhoods and gave a hoot about the people that live there, government would run a lot differently. But that's not what they care about. Folks, if we were to remove their salaries, I always like to make that joke. Our government needs money. Make Congress pay. I love that. That always tickles me. But folks, the bare fact is, you could strip them of their government-issued salary. And because of the money many of them are making just for their jobs from special interest groups, they would still be rich, right? They don't care. They want that. They don't want it for the position. They don't want it for the responsibility. They don't want it for the money that the government gives them. They want some of them fringe benefits. Pharaoh was living off of the fringe benefits of these people. Right? You were there. They were slaves. The Bible says it multiple times. They were slaves. They weren't getting anything out of this deal. And when Pharaoh got upset at Moses, he made them work harder. He didn't care about them. God did. And folks, that is why my allegiance will always fall to my Father. Because He cares. He cares. Listen, we would have much better things in place in this country if they actually cared about the real problems, but they don't. My God cares. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to follow Him first. A recently licensed pilot was flying his private plane in a cloudy day. He was not very experienced in instrument landing. When the control tower was to bring him in, he began to get panicky. Which, you know what? You don't really want a panicky pilot, do you? That's not a good combination. So he's up there. He's not sure what he's doing. He can't see. He's not experienced with landing things based off of the instruments alone. Then a stern voice came over the radio. You just obey the instructions. We'll take care of the obstructions. And isn't that how God treats us? Listen, you're worried about all the hurdles, you're worried about all the things. Don't worry about those things. You follow what I tell you to do, I'll take care of the rest. And that's what the Lord's telling Moses here. Moses had so many rebuttals, didn't he? Well, I'm not a good talker, I'm not this, I'm not... Why would they follow me? Lord, don't you know who I am to them? Don't you know my possession? All the little fears that Moses had. Lord, I am. Tell them I am sent you. Because you know what? Moses wasn't going to go by his own speech. He wasn't going to go by his own power. He was going to go in the name of the Lord. And folks, that again, how we behave should be in the name of the Lord. Whatever your job title is or was, right? That's what you were or what you are in the name of the Lord. Listen, for the longest time, I was a property manager or a landlord. And you know what? Everything I did ought to have been done in the name of the Lord. And I look back at some of those things where sometimes I had failed the Lord and maybe I had lost my temper or maybe I didn't behave the way that I ought to. And I'm ashamed of those moments. Why? Because those weren't moments spent in the name of the Lord. Right? Again, everything we do, whether you're retired, no matter what it is you're doing, whether you're a mom, you're a dad, grandma, grandpa, doesn't matter. You do that in the name of the Lord. And again, you'll see a lot of those little hurdles, a lot of those fears that you have go away when you just listen to the instructions. But that's kind of the problem. We have two sets of instructions, don't we? We have two. Right? In many ways, I look at what the Lord says about, we'll take something simple about gender. All right? Male and female created He, them. Boom. Done. Conversation's over. Right? We look at some of the conversations we see today, and it's mind-boggling, all 52 of them. Right? I had somebody get mad at me. They're like, well, you have to at least try to learn the different ones. I go, if you guys would stop making them up, I could catch up. I can't. Right, I'm just trying to, honestly, I can't pronounce half of them. You've got consonants next to consonants, and there's only two of them. How am I supposed to know what to do with that? Right, and again, it's not my desire to be compassionate to false science. I'll call it what it is, it's false religion. I just have no call to be compassionate. We have two sets of guidelines, two sets of instructions being given to us. When we look from the earthly government perspective, Egypt, really, if you look at the purpose of this, because I've thought about that, and maybe you have too, you know, why did the Lord leave the Israelites in Egypt in the first place? When you think about it, they had to grow somewhere, right? Egypt was kind of the soil in which the entire nation of Israel grew out of, right? Piggybacking their military, their food supplies, which, again, the Lord gave them in the first place because they would have been bankrupt without it, right? The Lord just kind of preserved Egypt during that famine, put his people in the center, watered them, they grew, and now that they were old enough and big enough to fight for themselves, all right, let's bring them out. Folks, that's kind of our relationship with the local government, right? We're here, we're to obey it, but honestly, this isn't really our home. This is a temporary placement, right? This is the place where we will grow and we will be protected. This is the place where we will have to go to the doctor, right? I've said this 100 times about the bad things that happen. We live in the land of the dying, right? So this government, they're the ones that protect the roads and put up the lights and all the things that we see. They're there, and we kind of grow out of them. Again, in them, but we're not of them, right? We also see that they were a part of and were to obey the government. Joseph's placement in the first place there was to, again, set the government straight. And folks, that's what you and I do when we go to the polls. That's what you and I do when we stand up and we say things, whether people are comfortable with it or not. That's what we accomplish. We're here. We can be a part of the government. I don't know any true Baptists that I can say if they're in government, but I'm sure there's somebody who's made an attempt somewhere. Right? We are to obey it. But again, this world is not our home. And you know what? We are to stay that way until God deemed something different needs to take place. And that's what happened. The Israelites, they stayed there until God goes, okay, we're flipping the script a little bit. We're going to move on to the next chapter. And this is where Moses got upset. And folks, if we're going to look at American history, and we're going to compare it with the entire history of Rome, its rise and its fall, right? If you look at where Rome started to fall, again, you've got corrupt government. You've got acceptance of a more licentious lifestyle, if I can talk like that. And all of a sudden, it drops. Now, Rome, they say Rome wasn't built in a day. It fell pretty much as fast. It was a pretty quick fall. Why? Because, again, they had immorality of a certain type, rampant. They had gluttony, rampant. They were killing God's people left and right. It was a disgusting society. And when they reached that level, so folks, if I were to say Rome fell here, looking at where we are on the map as a country, we're right here. Not quite up at the summit of where Rome was. And who's to say that the Lord's going to give us that much space to mess around? But listen, there's going to come a time where the Lord calls for something different. We currently have a government that's morality goes to the highest bidder. Between special interest groups, lobbyists, and the shifting ideals of society, the morality of our government is more like a rudderless ship in a storm. To compound this issue, they don't seem to know that they've completely lost their minds. They don't seem to get it. Right? They're like that one funny uncle from a TV show that's completely lost his mind. He's just eccentric, right? He's the one sitting there pouring gravy into the fishbowl. It's just that kind of person. That kind of seems what we've got going on right now. Right? We look at history, right? First, we say, okay, well, alcohol is evil. Prohibition. Amen, right? Amen, prohibition. No, it's a good thing. No more prohibition. Right? You know what? It is completely illegal to have an abortion in America. Completely illegal. You know what? It's a woman's right to choose now. Right? It's kind of like a pendulum, right? It's kind of swinging back and forth. But we stop swinging back and we just keep flying forward like we've fallen off of the clock. We're just flying out of control here. Now we're legalizing marijuana, legalizing drug use. How many states have now decriminalized hard drug use? Now, what they said is this, and if it was true, I would believe it, right? What they said is, what we do is instead of incarcerating them, we put them into a government-controlled and funded rehabilitation program. You lost me at the first two words, right? Give me a bunch of scientists, a bunch of doctors, a bunch of people that have put together an institution that the government might want to fund, and okay. But if it's government-run and government-run, I struggle with that, right? They can barely put together an inauguration ceremony anymore, let alone control the power of somebody's health, right? So it bothers me when we're doing this insane stuff. Consider this. Consider the drag queen story hour. I'm not even going to look at you when I say that. For those of you that thankfully do not know what that is a program funded out of the pockets of several representatives, senators, local governors, to have cross-dressers come and read stories to children in libraries. I'll let your dinner get back down for a second there. And this was celebrated. This is in the news. Everybody's excited about this. Well, how do we get this over in our community? How do we do this? You know what they're finding out? And it all started with one guy. They found out that one guy was on a very prestigious list. A very prestigious list that stops you from living anywhere near a school, if you know what I'm saying. Because he had a record for assault. Certain kind of assault that gets you on a certain kind of list. To a certain age. Following me still? And then, as they started to look at some of the other directors, these people who would come and read, turns out some of them have issues with their computers. Not turning them on. They had issues with what they've been doing with the computers. And oddly enough, they've been looking at the same kind of age range of the kids that they're working with. That ought to boil your blood. It boils mine. And the government says, oh, this is a wonderful thing. I disagree. That's hate speech. You can't go. You've got to accept this. No. No. Again, what is the Lord's command here to verse 11? And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? Oh, who am I to stand up against these educators? I'm just a local pastor. Who am I? I never went to college. I never did this. You can ask yourself that. Who am I? You're one of God's people. You're Moses now. Sorry. You're to stand up against the Pharaoh of this world and say, I'm not doing it. It's not going to be a part of what we do. Could you imagine that? Could you imagine a Baptist church being told that they had to have one of these individuals come and teach a Sunday school class to the kids for to be fair and balanced? Well, brother, that would never happen. Does anybody like conservative radio? Do you know why they've got to have both advertising groups of political parties? Because that's a law. Fair and balanced. They've got to be fair and balanced. You can't say anything without somebody telling you you're wrong. It's the American way. So, could you imagine that? Hey, if you guys are going to have Sunday school, you need to have one of these drag queens come and teach a Sunday school lesson. Sunday school will be canceled forever if that were the case, right? We'll have the kids over at our house for pizza and not Sunday school. We'll have Wednesday school. It's what we'll do. No. Well, we'll shut you down. All right. You shut us down. We'll have barbecues in my backyard. We'll have unincorporated, no bank account necessary, barbecues in my backyard. We'll have it in people's houses like they used to do in the New Testament. But to think that I'm going to cross the line and become an Egyptian, you're absolutely wrong. I'm not going to do it. Right? If you think about just the ideas that they would have there, it would not surprise me if in the next couple of years it comes out that for a church to stay with its or keep its tax-free status, that we would have to have other denominations come up to this pulpit, other ideas, philosophers, professors, people from the transgender community coming up here with a rebuttal for everything that's said. That would not surprise me. And the answer will be no. Well, don't you understand? No. Well, you really got to come around. No, you come around. Pick a hand. No, sorry. They both said no. No. Hold on. I got something for you. No. You know, sorry, other pocket. No, still no. I took my microphone off. No, no, but still there. No. That'd be our response. Amen. Well, what about at work? Will you come up? No. Hey, we're putting some money together for this operation that Bill's having. What kind of operation is Bill having? Oh no. Well, I'll let you fill in the blanks. No! Alright, hey, listen, there's this politician, he seems everything's good, but you know what? He wants to put something into place for us to perform those surgeries so that the government will give money for those surgeries. I'm not voting for him. He's a really nice guy. I don't care. He's my uncle. Sorry. No! Folks, that we would just sit there and say no. Right? Because here's the thing. I hear these people. I hear the things that they're saying. I hear what they're trying to push. And you know what I don't hear? I don't hear the sound of my shepherd's voice. Isn't that what Jesus said? My sheep hear my voice and they know me. So you know what? When I hear that, I go, that's not the voice I'm following. Right? Sorry, I'm standing in front of this bush. It ain't on fire. And that's not the Lord's voice coming out of it. No. We need to take that stand. Be brave. The number one point here, how do I know when to be right, is to know the Father. To know Him. Parents, we do this thing. We'll hear kids crying. Maybe you know this too. You'll be out maybe at a playground. You'll hear your kids crying back when they were young enough to go play, right? And you know the sound of your kids crying, don't you? Depending on who it is, I know how bad they're hurt based on the cry. Right? Gideon, he cries different when he's bleeding. I've learned that. Right? That's a bad one. You know, then there's other ones like, all right, he's crying, but that's the kind of cry that means he's going to come find me, so I'm good to stay here, right? I know the cries of my children. I ought to know the cries of my Father. All right, they would say this, that if you put a bunch of sheep together and you had the shepherd stand on either side of the field and they would both call, those sheep would go to their master by the sound of his voice and the kind of call he would do. And for those that follow how to both train dogs as well as how to herd sheep, there are different calls, different commands that do different things. So when another shepherd calls me from over here, I know, well, that's not his voice. That's not anything he would say to me. And can I say this? I got so mad this afternoon. I am trying to get visitors here. And there's a lady, she reached out to some kind of board for the area. And she says, well, I'm new to the area. I'm looking for a church. I'm getting excited, but I'm reading through. Laid back, tons of programs for the kids, and, you know, it's got to have a good music to it. I've never, of all the things I care about when I go looking for a church, I've never looked at those three things. What Bible do they use? What's the doctrine? What's the... It was one of those things where I wanted to open up a message and send a message to her. But I struggle with this, and many of you know this. I want to sound like Paul, but sometimes I sound like Peter. And you don't always want to sound like Peter, you want to sound like Paul. So if I'm stuck in between Jesus and John Wayne, I don't answer. I just kind of leave it alone. And that's kind of what I did there, but that's what the world wants. That is what society has accustomed people to. I want to know that my Lord's voice is being preached at a church before I go. Right? I get many emails from missionaries, and it's really kind of amping up nowadays how many I get from missionaries. Hey, pastor, brother, pastor, we just want to let you know we got this missionary over here. All right, well, where's your doctrinal statement? Well, yeah, we don't really have one. Okay, what church are you out of? Well, you know, we're just kind of here representing ourselves. Okay, well, what do you believe on this doctrine? Oh, well, you know, to each his own. Well, I tell you what, to each his own. You have your over there, and we'll keep our support over here. We'll do it. You support you, we'll support us. I need to hear my Lord's voice in that work. I need to. I'll sit there. I emailed our missionaries. I sent it on over. I'm just, you know, hey, just checking on you, make sure everything's okay. Just want to let you know I love you. I'm praying for you every day. He sent me a response. It was very pastorally. For many of you, you've dealt with him. You just love it. You know, Brother James, thank you. I just get excited. But when I talk to some people, I go, oh, you don't answer to the shepherd. I answer. I can tell. Again, not by a gut feeling, but by the way you're talking, by the way you're doing things. Absolutely not. If we continue on with our reading, verse 12, and he said, certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say unto me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. You need to hear his voice. You need to recognize what it is. And trust me, you'll not want to stay in Egypt when he calls you out. You'll want free of it. Right? We see that next one. Respond directly. Respond directly. The I am says this. Right? And listen, when he would go in front of Pharaoh, that is the name he would call. Listen, I can be a little bit of a, I can be a little dissonant sometimes when it comes down to some of the things the government has asked us to do. I remember when COVID first hit, I talked to my wife who has a lot of biological knowledge, and I came to the conclusion, well, you know what? If I'm going to the grocery store, I'm going to put on a mask. That was my idea. Don't you hate it when somebody tells you to do something that was already your idea? Especially if it's the government. My dad will do that to me. Be careful. Well, thanks, Dad. I was going to see if the Dodge Caravan could go up on two wheels, but you ruined that. That's how my dad always used to say goodbye. Like my mom, bye, love you, bye. My dad, be careful. And I asked him one day, I go, well, Dad, why do you say be careful instead of bye, I love you? He goes, well, what do you think I want you to be careful for? He slapped me upside the back of the head. I love him, my dad. He's tough. But I came to the conclusion, I'm going to wear a mask. Then I sat there, you must wear a mask. Not if I looked like you would I wear a mask now. And I sat there and thought for a bit, well, that's the wrong attitude. I better put it. I don't trust the government to the point to where if you told me something I wanted to do in the first place, I already don't want to do it anymore. But cool level heads must prevail. Listen, when the Lord called the children of Israel out of Egypt, it was supposed to be a complete separation. In many ways, you know, as Moses would come up, he would declare, this is in the name of the Lord, this is in the name of the Lord. As they crossed the Red Sea, it was from the Lord. Everything the Lord did to them, and they still doubted Moses. They doubted Moses so often. Why? Because they distanced themselves from God. Right? It wasn't a matter of, at first it was, well, he brought us out here to die. Why would the Lord do this? But often when they would murmur about Moses. Why? Because it's hard to blame God, easy to blame people. It is. It's easy to blame people. But what we need to realize is that when we're in this book, this is not the opinions of men from hundreds or thousands of years ago. This is still the Lord. Right? I've heard people say, well, that's Paul. You can't trust what Paul has to say. We firmly believe that the Lord inspired and preserved all of his word unless Paul said it. How does that work? We have to understand that when we stand before the world, what we need to repeat is what the Lord says for us to do. Do all that God commands, no matter how uncomfortable, would be a good next point, wouldn't it? Right? Think about one of the things that God told Moses to do. Some of you ladies are like this. Lay down the staff, it'll turn into a snake. That sounds like fun, doesn't it? Patrick, doesn't that sound like a good trip? We're going to go handle snakes, Patrick. You and me after church tonight, we're going to go handle snakes, buddy. Now, that would be easy. You ask me to throw the rod down, it turns into a snake. That would be easy, right? Okay, there you go. There you go. All right. How's this? It's over there, right? Throw the snake. And what did the Lord say? Now, reach down and grab it. You lost me again, Lord. Reach down and grab it. Now, what would be your thought? I know what my thought would be. What if this thing bites me? I thought about that, Brother Mark. We put these sermons up on the computer. Some of the people that I know, for whatever reason, they look up my sermons too. Now, I just figured if they're on there, folks are looking at Brother Gordon's, Brother Titus's sermon. That's what I think would be. I have a hard time anticipating. We're putting some of this up there. I'll never be president again, Brother Wade. Never going to be president. What if this thing bites me? What if this being called out of Egypt thing, right? What if me living separately? What if me doing things differently? What if that comes back to bite me? I pulled this out of an article I read. It said, after all, America is no Iran or Saudi Arabia, where Christian conversion and gospel preaching land you in prison and even the grave. We're a liberal democracy, a pillar of Western civilization with its constitutive freedom of conscience. But that status is tenuous. classic liberalism, following Adam Smith and Edmund Burke, not Nancy Pelosi or Harry Reid, is dying in the mainline Western nations as paternalists, cultural relativists, sensitivity police, and decadence normalizers move in with their speech and tax codes to cow the faithful. A man named Aki Green and Daniel Scott are two cases in point. Green, a Swedish Pentecostal pastor on the little island of Åland, was sentenced to a month in jail for hate speech and agitation against an ethnic group for preaching a sermon against homosexuality. Fortunately, the Swedish Supreme Court overturned the lower court's ruling. Could you see something like that happening today here in America? Yes, I would. As a matter of fact, I could probably guess between the two states it would be if it happens first. Scott, a math professor and Assembly of God minister, had fled Pakistan for the safety of Australia, only to be convicted of vilifying Islam when he spoke in churches. Let me read that part again. Fled Pakistan. Well, why do you flee Pakistan as a Christian? Because they'll kill you. But was convicted for vilifying them when he spoke in churches explaining the roots of the 9/11 terrorist attacks. He was ordered to purchase tens of thousands of dollars in ads in Melbourne papers apologizing to Muslims. He refused at great legal expense, and the case went to the Victorian Supreme Court, which ruled in his favor, and Americans of biblical conviction are also beginning to feel the heat. For instance, a Methodist retreat center in New Jersey lost its tax-exempt status for excluding same-sex marriage ceremonies from its grounds. Amen. Now listen, none of these were Baptist people, but that bothers me. That bothers me. Because we're in Egypt, folks. The Lord's called us out. Listen, I will obey the rules and the trappings of this government as long as it does not have me in line to disobey God. That is my line. And again, as I brought out in the sermon, I have to know what God expects of me to know when the bad things come. I know I've said this before about the Canadian Mounted Police. How do they train them how to spot counterfeit money? They make them count the real currency for a very long time. It is their familiarization with the right that lets them know when they're holding the wrong. So when I sit there and I watch the news, not that I do that anymore, but when I hear things, verses can pop into my head. Why? Because my thoughts and my processes all evolve around this book. So that way when I hear something, all right, well, so what happens when I get in trouble? What happens if they jail me, if they kill me, if they, heaven forbid, roll their eyes at me? And that's what it is. So let's take a walk through the book of Acts. Go ahead. These people counted themselves unworthy to suffer for the Lord. They were so, we can't believe the Lord let us suffer for him. That's what's going to happen. Why? Because I've seen the faithful go through those things. And that's what they say. I'm so grateful the Lord counted me worthy of this. You know what? If it ever comes to the point where they're threatening to put Christians in jail for what they believe, we're going to see church numbers or attendance numbers drop. We will. You know what? That's sad. But I'm not going anywhere. And I pray if you're faithful, you won't either. Right? And that's the kicker. You know what? You can do anything you want to my body. You can put it in jail. You can kick it. You can call it names. You can hang me from a tree. But ultimately, you can't touch my spirit. That's what the Lord says. Why are you afraid of people that can only harm your body? You need to be more concerned about the person that can harm your body and hurt your soul. That's what I'm concerned about. Now, again, I don't serve the Lord because I'm afraid he's going to come get me. He will. He might. But again, my heart, my concern is that I would disappoint the Father. That I would just, for whatever reason, he would mark me down as a vessel that's unreliable. I got on my kids today, and they're out in the parking lot, so I hope they're sleeping by now. I got on my kids today, I called them. Gideon, Caspian, come here! Because I lost them for a second. And that's always nervous, that's nerve-wracking for those two. If I see Xander, but not those two, trouble is happening. And it, come here! No answer. And now I've got my preacher's voice on. I know the neighbors are coming, right? I know. Come on! Nothing. I said, oh. Now, what does that do to me as a father? I dialed up to 10. Urgh! I sit there thinking, I go, how often do you think God has called me to do something and I've been wishy-washy about it? Because you know what happens. I call, boys, get you come here right now. Did you hear me? Yeah. Gideon, hug. Not today. How often has my father said, Matt, we're going to do this. Okay. But what if people give me mean looks? I don't know if I can tolerate mean looks today, Father. I said, well, what if the police officers come? Then they come. Well, Father, what if... No. Isn't that what he said there? No, don't worry about that. You go. You tell Pharaoh what I told you to tell him. All right? And this is what's going to happen. Like, he even gave him the roadmap, too. He told him Pharaoh was going to have a hard time with this at the end of that chapter. Pharaoh's not going to be on board with this. Folks, if we stand different from this world, from the government around us, they're not going to be happy. So be it. You get to be a grump all day. I'll be fine. I'll be glad to serve the Lord. What if they put you in jail? Prison ministry. All right. What if they hit you with sticks? Well, I'm pretty thick. I'll be okay. Like, I get nervous about that. I do a little bit. But it's going to be okay. Why? Because there have been people who've been through worse and they were okay. They were glad for it. Listen, I would rather meet the Lord early than meet the Lord ashamed. That's my thought. That's what makes my decision between when do I serve, when do I obey the government, and when do I say, well, no, that's not right. It comes down to this book and the central idea that I would rather not stand ashamed before my Father. Well, I don't know, this one's pretty close. Tie goes to the Lord. There's reason to believe. Nope, tie goes to the Lord. That's it. Well, really wasn't a tie. Yep, so goes the Lord. Our decisions, our heart, everything needs to go to the Father. Because I'll tell you this, this government does not care about your eternity. It does not care about your bank. It doesn't care about your business. It doesn't care about your family. It doesn't care about your soul. My God does. So if you ask me who I'm going to obey, it's going to be Him. 100% of the time with His strength, right? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank